Hello, everyone. My name is Lisa, and welcome to Pass the Ox. Some of you might recognize me from By the Lyric, which airs Thursdays from 4 to 5, or from Friday Night Live, which airs Fridays from 10 to 11 p.m. is the after-class show. So, today, I am actually going to be talking about Ukrainian music. I have a Ukrainian background, which means that I'm always really interested in Ukrainian music. I have many Ukrainian playlists on my Spotify, and I just thought it'd be interesting to kind of share it with you. All right, so I think the first thing to note when we're talking about Ukrainian music is the language itself. So not a lot of people know this, but Ukrainian is actually the second most melodic language in the world after Italian, and the third most beautiful language in the world after French and Persian. This was determined in a linguistic contest held in Paris in 1934, and it was ranked on criteria such as phonetics, vocabulary, phraseology, and sentence structure. So it's a very complicated language. It's difficult to learn, especially if you don't know about, all the conjugations and what certain words mean and how there's one little letter can change a meaning of a word entirely. Like kurka means chicken, but kurtka means jacket. And so if you're learning, it can be very difficult, but it is a very beautiful language, and I think that it's worth it. Another thing that I think is important to mention about music in Ukraine is that, especially music not only in Ukraine, but in Ukrainian, like the words are sung and spoken Ukrainian, is actually looking at the history of Ukrainian language in Ukraine. So I'm just going to read through a few dates here and what happened, just so you guys can kind of understand the trouble and turmoil that Ukrainian language has faced in its own country. So in 1832, reorganization of education in Ukraine on the empire-wide principles and transforming all teaching into Russian language. So there's a long history of Ukraine being suppressed language, and I kind of wanted to get into the history here. So in 1847, there was increased persecution of the Ukrainian language and culture, the prohibition of the best works of Taras Shevchenko, Kulish, Kostomarov, and others. So these are our national poets. That's a huge thing. Basically, it was prohibited to read the Ukrainian language and, speak it. 1859, Ministry of Religion and Science of Austria-Hungary and Eastern Galicia and Bukovina attempt to replace Ukrainian Cyrillic alphabet with a Latin alphabet. So not even just speaking it, but the existence of the alphabet was persecuted. In 1862, it was the closing of free Sunday Ukrainian schools for adults. In 1864, we had the adoption of the charter of the primary school, at which education was to be conducted only in Russian. In 1869, the Polish language was introduced as the official language of education and administration in Polish Eastern Galicia. 1870, comment of Minister of Education of Russia, Dmitry Tolstoy, that the ultimate goal of education for all inorodzi, which means non-Russians, literally people of other descent, is unarguably to be Russification. So for those of you that don't know the word Russification, it's everything to be more towards Russia, for the Russian language to be spoken, Russian cultures to be adopted, the Russian church to be adopted, everything Russian versus Ukrainian. 1876, Alexander II's decree banning the printing and import from abroad of any Ukrainian literature and to ban Ukrainian stage performances and Ukrainian lyrics and music scores, that is also folk songs, which is, to me, hilarious. Like, you can't, if a folk song has been written in Ukrainian, how do you go back and change it? You can't. It's nationally known for the lyrics. I guess you have to rewrite it in Russian to abide by Russification. In 1881 was the prohibition of teaching in public schools and uttering church sermons in Ukrainian. In 1884, Alexander III banned Ukrainian theater in all provinces of so-called Little Russia. In 1888, Alexander III decree banning the use of Ukrainian language in official institutions and baptism in Ukrainian names. So you couldn't even have a Ukrainian name. It had to all be Russified. In 1892, prohibition to translate books from Russian into Ukrainian. So there you go. Again, more Russification. 1895, prohibition by the main administration of printing to publish Ukrainian language children's books. So they started young. And for example, my mom grew up in Ukraine where Russian was the educated language. Russian was the language of business. Russian was the language in schools and everything. So she even was telling me how back in her day, Ukrainian was seen as the peasant's language or as the language of a lower class, which is completely wrong. But anyways, back to these kind of important dates here. In 1913, Ukrainian was banned from all public schools in Alberta, Canada, which at the time was home to the largest Ukrainian diaspora community in the New World. So this wasn't only affected in Ukraine itself, but everywhere all over the world. It was happening in Poland. It's still kind of happening in Poland. It happened in Canada. I read a lot growing up, going to Ukrainian Saturday school, about kind of the fun that kids would poke at Ukrainians and the kind of bad words that they would use to call us. In 1914 was the prohibition of celebrating the 100th anniversary of Taras Shevchenko, who was our biggest national poet. And the decree of Nicholas II was prohibition of Ukrainian press. In 1914 and 1916, there were Russification campaigns in Western Ukraine. The prohibition of Ukrainian word, education, and church. So literally everything, just erase it. In 1926, Stalin's letter to Comrade Kaganovich and other members of the Politburo of the Central Committee of the CPBU, with the sanction of the struggle against the national bias and the beginning harassment of Ukrainization, which is, like, honestly the first time I've heard this word, Ukrainization. Like, it shouldn't have to happen because the country is Ukraine. We are Ukraine. We shouldn't have to Ukrainianize ourselves, right? Well, we had to because of the Russification that happened. So to get back to where we started, where we came from, and our roots, we have to Ukrainianize ourselves. Again, in 1933, Stalin sent out a telegram to stop Ukrainization. In 1933, abolition in Romania ministerial decree of 1929, which permits a few hours a week of Ukrainian language in schools with a majority of students with the Ukrainian. So basically the few hours that were allowed to teach Ukrainian in schools was abolished. And this is kind of when things started to turn around in the 1960s. We see a lot of what we call now national artists, Narodni Artisti Ukraine, or artists of the people. They began, you know, writing many more songs in Ukrainian, which have now become folk songs. And I believe it's because of this. This is kind of what got it started. In 1958, enshrined in Article 20, Principles of Legislation of the USSR and the Union Republics on Public Education of the Situation, on the free choice of language learning, the study of all languages except Russian at the request of students' parents. So a student that was going to school, everything was being taught in Russian, but if a parent asked for it, they could have a few hours learning another language, which here would be Ukrainian. This is interesting because from the 60s all the way to kind of 2000s, 2003, there was more Ukrainian stuff going on. There was more arts and culture and Ukrainian. People started to recognize and kind of go back to the arts of national poets back in the day. But in 2012, the Verkhovna Rada of Ukraine, so the government, they drafted a law called On State Language Policy, which steadily narrowed the scope of use of the Ukrainian language in most regions of Ukraine, which is kind of crazy to think that that was only 6 years ago. And I think that may have even been something that contributed to the revolution that happened there, 2013-2014. But yeah, I don't know if you guys have heard, Crimea and LPR, so Luhansk People's Republic have now been occupied by Russia illegally and annexed. Crimea has been illegally annexed. Luhansk so far no, so let's hope that doesn't happen. 2014, Ukrainian was banned in Crimea and in Luhansk, as it is now controlled by the Russian state. But anyways, back to this 1960s, People's Artist of Ukraine. That's when we started kind of getting a lot of these songs that are now considered folk songs. This title is an honorary and highest title awarding outstanding performing artists whose merits are exceptional in the sphere of development of the performing arts. It was established in 1922, and it was technically called People's Artist of the Ukrainian SSR. With the establishment of an independent Ukraine in 1991, this tradition was kept and the title was renamed as People's Artist of Ukraine. So, Narodny Artist Ukraine. Its recipients include many of the most highly acclaimed composers, dancers, singers, musicians, film and theater directors, actors, circus performers, etc. So, here's a video of three national artists, Zinkevich, Yaremchuk, and Ivasyuk, performing a song called Chervona Ruta, which translates into Red Flower. So again, for those of you that are just joining us, that was Chervona Ruta, which translates to Red Flower by Ukrainian national artists. And just another example kind of traditional music, especially that I like to listen to, and I know a lot of my friends like to listen to. Here is the Volyn Choir. All right, so I hope that gives you guys a good idea of the traditional kind of music that I grew up listening to, as did a lot of my friends. So one thing that you may have noticed is that they have a very specific way of singing, the choir members, especially the women. What you're hearing is called white voice or white singing, and it is a traditional style of singing from Eastern Europe. It's very prominent, and it's even becoming more popular in Ukraine. The technique is based on the open throat and noisy free volume of a bright color. Mostly it uses a chest register and is close to a controlled scream almost. Air escapes through the fully open throat, and this kind of singing is used for upper and medium resonators, laryngeal cartilage, bones, and air cavities in the head and throat. A characteristic feature of this kind of voice is its brightness and intensity, more important than the smooth running and controlled breathing. Most of the traditional songs feature the modal voice register. It's interesting because being able to sing in this white voice in the Ukrainian community is a sign of high professionalism and talent, as it is a very difficult skill to master. Where it was born, why did people start singing like this? Well, in Ukraine, we have a lot of farmers because there's very fertile soil, and Ukraine has actually been dubbed as the breadbasket of Europe. So we have a long history of farmers in our people and in our culture. So it was used as a way to communicate. The women would be out in the field harvesting and working, and to communicate to their next door neighbor, which would happen to be however many acres away, they would really need to push their voice so that it actually reaches that person. And this is a way that they would communicate. And this is how a lot of white singing songs and white voice folk music was born. So here's another example of it. Maybe it's a little easier to hear. The other sound that you will hear in this song, it's a musical instrument that is actually played by using vibrations against your teeth. So what you do is you hit this instrument against your teeth and the vibrations create a really interesting sound. So So I hope that that was a good example, that you guys kind of understand a little bit more about what this white singing is. It almost sounds like a yodel. So for those of you that don't know, yodeling is a form of singing which involves repeated and rapid changes of pitch between the low-pitched chest register and the high-pitched head register, or falsetto. It was used in many cultures worldwide, and I'm also sure it was a form of communicating between people in mountainous areas. So that group that you just heard is called Rojanetsia, and they were in Toronto touring in 2016, and they came to my church, and I was just floored. So I'm going to give you just another example of this group. All right, just a quick short example there. What this group does is they actually tour around Ukraine to all the little villages, and they like to talk to the women of the villages, especially the elderly, because they have such a storage. They have this directory in their minds of Ukrainian traditional folk songs that the youth kind of haven't really picked up. And so what they're doing, their goal, this group, Rojanetsia, is their goal is to go around and gather all this information and kind of make sure that we safe keep it and that we don't lose it through generational gaps. So I really admire what they've done. Another interesting story is that in first year here at Laurier, during O week, or orientation week for those that don't know, it's the first week that when you come to Laurier, you kind of get to know everyone who's in your residence, and you kind of go around doing a bunch of fun activities, and there was a talent show. So what I did is I went up and I actually performed a Billy Holos, or white voice song. And I'm not sure if you've noticed, but in all the clips that I've played, they haven't used any microphones. So this kind of singing is so loud that it can fill up a hall, especially a hall with good acoustics, without the help of technology, because the point of it was that it was loud and that it would travel far distances, the sound. So this is the song that I sang. This is Lemon Bucket Orchestra, which is also a group that likes to tour and gather not only Ukrainian folk songs from, you know, the villages and the elderly, but also Romanian, Estonian, Lithuanian, Latvian. They travel all across Eastern Europe and gather sounds for their band. All right, so that is a song called Tomukosa. And again, that was Lemon Bucket Orchestra singing in a white voice. It wasn't as prominent in this video, but that was a song that I did sing in first year talent show, which was in 2014, for those of you that are keeping track. This style of singing has also been mixed in with modern genres and styles, such as rock. And here's an example of, again, this group, Rojanetsia, performing with Zulu. All right, so that's one idea of kind of the way that it comes into modern singing, and it does come up in a lot of modern songs that are released in Ukraine. I just thought this was a funny example. If you guys can guess what this song is parodying, it's called Desh Tesito, which translates to Where's the Yeast, and it's basically about these ladies are singing about, oh, my husband's going to come home, I can't find the yeast, which means that I'm not going to be able to make some varanike or pierogies for him. So hopefully you guys recognize the melody. So if you guys didn't realize, that was a parody on Despacito, Desh Tesito, which means, where are you, yeast? There's very few Ukrainian songs that have gone international. I can really only think of one example, which is one of the reasons why I decided to kind of talk about Ukrainian music on this show, not only because I listen to it almost every day, but just because it's so beautiful and it needs to be spread more, you know, it needs to be more widespread. So I'm sure you guys recognize this song. I'm not only trying to play Christmas music here too early, but this is just the only example that I could think of for kind of an internationally recognized Ukrainian song. Mm-hmm. right, so that is the original version for all of you non-Ukrainian speakers. This is the Carol of the Bells, and it is probably the only Ukrainian song that I know that has gone international and that everyone knows. It's been covered by a lot of people, for example, Pentatonix. So that was an example of Pentatonix covering the Shtedrik, or Carol of the Bells, as it is known in English. And also a rock orchestra has also covered the song. So that was Carol of the Bells by the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. And it just shows how popular the song has become. I think it's really funny that it's called Carol of the Bells because actually it's supposed to be sung a cappella, as you guys heard in the original version. Now I want to talk a little bit more about modern music in Ukraine. So since gaining independence, there was kind of this surge of Ukrainian music. But gaining independence from the USSR didn't actually help the Ukrainian, I guess, language becoming more popular in Ukraine. A lot of people were just got used to having to do everything in Russian, and so they kind of stuck to it, which is why I think that the revolution from 2013 to 2014, was the true kind of beginning of the Ukrainian language movement. And since then, there has been a lot of popular music styles coming out in the Ukrainian language. So I just want to show you guys a little preview there. This is a song by a guy who dresses up as a woman. So I guess a drag queen, essentially. His name is Verka Serdyuchka, and he actually won Eurovision, which is a huge singing competition in Europe, with this song, which is called Dancing Lasha Tumbai. So that's just an example of one of the big wins for Ukrainian music. It's funny because the song is called Dancing Lasha Tumbai. What it was originally called was Dancing Russia Goodbye, but they had to censor it because of the close ties between Ukraine and Russia at the time. And I think it's funny because most of the words in this song don't actually mean anything. I mean, I'm not sure about the German parts that he's saying and all that, but it became very popular in Ukraine. He's very successful, or she's very successful, I should say. And it's just an example of how Ukrainian music, while it's becoming more modern, it still has that, you know, traditional feel to it, as you heard the accordion there. And it's all these, you know, kind of 90s disco music. The next song is kind of a really modern, and it's very popular in Ukraine today. It's even a theme song for a very popular Ukrainian TV show called Shkola, which is basically a soap opera about a school, a high school, or a school that goes K to 12. Or 11, I guess. They don't have grade 12 in Ukraine. The song is called Tam Temeye, or There Where We Are. So that's just an example of kind of the direction that modern music in Ukraine is going, in terms of, I guess, rock. This is more of a rock group. We also have rap. So there's a lot of Ukrainian rappers that are kind of coming about. This song is actually a rap version of the very widely known national poem Dumemoi, which was by Taras Shevchenko. Earlier I mentioned that his works were banned for some time in Ukraine. He is a very strong national symbol. If you have a Ukrainian friend that doesn't hang a portrait of Taras Shevchenko in their home, are they really Ukrainian? That's a question you need to ask yourself. So as you can see, even though it has more of a hip-hop kind of reggae vibe, it still uses Ukrainian traditional national symbols such as the flute, which is a huge instrument in Ukraine, kind of started off and ended the song. And the rap was one of the most famous, or maybe even the most famous poem in Ukraine that everyone knows. The next song that I kind of want to play is, it's also a rap song. I think rapping in Ukraine is very admirable just because of the complexity of the language, as I mentioned earlier, and the length of some words. This song, it kind of takes vibes from a lullaby. So the word luli is you're going to hear a lot. That's something that a mother would say while rocking her child. And she would kind of sing like luli, luli. And then that would kind of help the child doze off to sleep. So again, that's just a good example of kind of the experimental sound that's coming out of Ukraine right now. Again, you heard these sounds of the flute, and the man right now was kind of singing in a white voice style. So I think Ukraine has a lot of really great emerging sounds, especially while staying close to their roots. Now, I just want to leave you guys with kind of more party jams, especially the ones that I like to play on my downtime. Really want make you want to get up and start dancing. Artists in Ukraine have even started to take kind of a more Western approach to music and not having the traditionally Ukrainian topics, which are, you know, turmoil, having to deal with oppression, you know, love, heartbreak, that kind of stuff, and more, I guess, kind of vulgar or partying themes. I guess that they're kind of hoping that it's going to get more adopted and more international, which is something that I'm trying to do. So please enjoy. This song is called Vasya OMG by a group called Patsik is Franica. So that song was actually about big-bottomed ladies. And Vasya is kind of a term that they use. I'm not really sure if it's derogatory or not, but it does kind of have more of a slang connotation to it as opposed to the traditional, you know, Ukrainian lyrical way of saying things. As you noticed, again, there was that flute element and there was that background white singing element. So while it's still a really bumping, party, clubby track, they still, you know, stay strong to Ukrainian roots. Here's another song by this band. It's called Kaifova. So again, there you go. Ukrainian music in the modern day, they're trying to move away from topics that are poetic, heartbreak, you know, about oppression. This song is called Kaifova, which translates to cool. He's basically asking, why are you so cool? He's talking to a girl, trying to tell her how beautiful she is and how they should get together. So again, more pop culture, more westernized topics for songs. I'll leave you guys with one song that is literally called Na Pati, which translates to on the party or in the parting or we're at the party. And it's very bumping. And basically this guy is saying, I don't want to sleep. I just want to party. So I hope that you guys feel the same way. Again, this was Pass the Ox. My name is Lisa, and catch up with me this Thursday from 4 to 5 on By the Lyric.